You're listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly podcast looking at all things Warhammer.
Happy New Year, everybody!
Happy New Year!
It is 2020, it is our first podcast of the year, and is episode 67. My name is Dave, and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello!
And Jay.
Hello.
Did we all have a fantastic New Year?
It went far too quickly.
It did, didn't it? The whole festive period
went
far too quickly.
Our tree went down today.
That's depressing.
Yeah.
So now back to normality.
Distant memory now.
I don't know what day of the week it is now, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was Monday.
Yeah. It feels like a Monday.
Does feel like a Monday. But there we are. At least the podcast has returned for a whole new bout of episodes throughout this year.
Yeah.
We've got a bit to talk about on the show this week. First and foremost, our trip to Warhammer World, which we bigged up for the second part of last year.
We need to come up with some sort of name for this, rather than just the annual trip to Warhammer World.
it doesn't really roll off the tongue,
no,
does it?
No, it doesn't. So the three of us, plus some additional folks, went down to Warhammer World for 2 days of gaming. Warhammer 40,000, we'll talk about that later on in the podcast. We've also got returning our top three hobby resolutions. So we're going to review last year's and set out some new ones for this year. Yeah, you may not have got a couple of yours, Jay.
I think Jay failed some of his like the day after we recorded the podcast, but we'll see.
I was listening back to it and there was one I was like, I said at the time, that's a bold statement. Yeah, it was a bold statement. So we've got that. We've also had some really good shout-outs from the community, which we shall read out at the end of the podcast. We've also got some news as well. Even though, you know, it's been a bit quiet over Christmas, there is some quite big news coming into January, especially if you're into Age of Sigmar.
Yeah.
So, before we do all that, I know we've all been very business, very busy eating Christmas dinners, partying at New Year, but have we got any hobby in the last, 2 weeks, isn't it?
Mm. Got loads of hobby in.
Have you, Jack?
Yeah, considering it's only been 2 days into the year.
Yeah, okay.
Got a load of hobby in. So, I'll start then, as soon as I've just introduced.
Yeah, well, no, go for it.
So, while we were in Nottingham, Warhammer World, I spent a day and a half battling with myself over what models to buy, and I ended up buying some Rivendell High Elves, which I have now built all of my Rivendell High Elves, and had a game with Matt, the first Lord of the Rings game I've had since the Lord of the Rings films came out.
We're trying to work out, 2001 the game came out, so it's like 19 years-ish since we played the game.
And what a cool system it is, really, really
it's
cool.
It's a little bit rusty, but what I will say, that new rulebook is so well laid out compared to some other systems books. Not mentioning any names.
Yeah, it's good. Mm. I need to get some little stat cards because that was the only thing that I was missing. But
Rumour on the Grapevine is they're getting reprinted because they were so popular and they are super useful during the game.
Yeah, so I'll be finding some high elf stat cards then to use on them. I've also been like making lists for. I sorted out all my old dwarfs, got a load of dwarf models, making lists for dwarfs. You get a lot more dwarfs in an army than you do high elves, I'll tell you that. I've also been writing Lothlorien. I think it's Lothlorien. The Wood Elves. Because I've just got like ambitions now to build a massive Helm's Deep like board and put some wood elves on.
Have you seen the Legendary Legion where you can take some Lothlorien elves plus some Rohan plus the Three Hunters?
Oh, right, yeah.
That might be up your straight.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that then. And then I was doing something else, but I can't think what it was now. It's escaped me. It was hobby related, but I can't think now.
You were just looking through the Cities of Sigmar book.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've been sorting out my army because we've got the. We're 2 days into the year and already we've got all these events to look forward to. The first of which, I believe, is the Purple Spark of the Unicorns tournament at the end of January. So this is a 2 day Age of Sigmar tournament again. And I have decided I will be taking my Dwarves in. And there's quite a few options now in Age of Sigmar to use dwarfs. You can take them as a dispossessed army, but it seems to make more sense now to take them in a Cities of Sigmar army because it allows you to bring in all the things like the gyrocopters, the cocksmiths into one force rather than taking allies. Mm-hmm. So I have been messing around with some dwarf based living city lists.
Well, you'd be like, oh, they're not so competitive. It's like, just read this bit just to check the wording, because I think there's some proper filth you can do with dwarfs in the living city.
Yeah, well, I've just discovered, thanks to Matt, that you can bring in units of Iron Drakes from any board edge, and they don't count as having moved because you're setting them up on the battlefield. So that lets them fire twice. And Iron Drake's firing twice is very, very good. Yeah. And was it Throne of Skulls?
It was Throne of Skulls. Yeah, we went monster hunting with those guys.
Yeah, I think they took out they pretty much killed a mammoth, Chaos Mammoth. I think my Unforged finished it off, but it was really the Iron Drakes that did the bulk of the work. And then in a later
Jurassic
game,
Park, the next game.
Oh man, yeah, it was ace. They just like, I took out a Bastilodon, another Bastilodon, a Stegodon, and they were still going. They would have got the slan if they hadn't decided to start hitting the slan bite with the rune Lord instead.
Yeah.
So I've got 130 Iron Drakes in my list.
130 Iron Drakes.
Not quite 130.
Right, okay.
Not yet. Well, I've been doing some hobby as well, and also fairly Lord of the Rings related. I had a bit of a surprise the other day when the clear resin ring bearers dropped through the letterbox the other day, because I don't think they're out till tomorrow. So painted them, inverted commas, based them up, and they're really nice models.
The highlights are so nice on these models. Well, yeah. Such a good job there.
It's a shame that they're discontinued now, because they were only available like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, I think it was, and then disappeared off to the...
I think you can still get them from Warhammer World, but that's it.
If you're super lucky, they've got any left.
Yeah, it's like it almost looks like the same material they make the canopies out of, but it's very nice. And they're very detailed, though. I mean, you can see the detail through them.
Yeah, I think they're literally the metal models just cast in clear resin, which is cool. So, yeah, so built them. I've built a lot of hobbits. You say you get a lot more dwarves than you do elves.
Twice as many hobbits.
You get a lot of hobbits. They're like 4 or 5 points each, so, yeah, that's a lot of them. But, yeah, they're all built. Need to get some paint on them. Had a play with my new airbrush that I got for Christmas. That's a really cool thing. Priming things inside is going to be a game changer.
That is a game changer.
I sprayed up a Necromunda tile in 10 minutes and it looks really good.
Cool.
So, looking forward to having a proper play with that. I've just not had time with it being New Year and then back to work today.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, played Lord of the Rings with Jay, who battered me. Well, I say he battered me. Uruk-hai crossbowmen did most of the damage to my own army.
I recommend, if you're ever building a Lord of the Rings Battle Force army, make sure your opponent has a unit of Uruk-hai crossbowmen in them, because they will do you a solid.
Yep.
I think they killed more Uruk-hai than Elrond did.
Oh, they definitely did, yeah.
Like, I mean, they were like, he was firing at Elrond and Uruk-hai were like jumping in the way to sort of catch them on.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, not to be left out, I've also done a little bit of Lord of the Rings hobbying after being, shall we say, pestered, that's the wrong
persuaded.
Kind of persuaded.
Where was Gondolin?
To come home with some Lord of the Rings. So I did. I came home with Gandalf, the new plastic one, who is now built, and a box of Knights of Minas Tirith, who are now also built. And I pulled out a box of Warriors of Minas Tirith, which I've had for years, which I want to build next. I'm ready to have a game with you folks.
Your next purchase should be a box of Uruk-hai crossbowmen that you can give to that'll just round out your army.
They're built. I'll get those warriors done, and then hopefully I can give one of you guys a game next week or so to try that out. I think that might be it for the hobby for me, actually. Okay. I don't think I've not had a chance to have a game since, obviously, Warhammer World. The only other Warhammer hobby I've been doing is trawling Games Workshop's website, looking at various tactics and watching battle reports, because I am just being pulled from one pillar to another. but that's a whole other story. So,
is interesting. What are you talking about?
Well, I came towards the end of last year with quite a fixed approach to the armies I was going to start for January.
Right, okay.
And that was Gene Steel Cult for 40k, Ogre Moor Tribes for Age of Sigmar. And
I sense you're getting pulled in another Sigmar direction then, are you?
Both. We'll talk about it in the news, but there has been a leaked image, which I know it's a really poor image, but there's a couple of things on there that got me very, very excited. So I don't know if you've got that news or should we talk about that? We have. Well, we'll talk about the news then. And Sigmar is the same. I'm kind of being pulled between, but I've got to make a decision soon because I want to start hobbying. I want to start painting. I really want to start painting. So yeah, there you go. That's all my hobbying. Right, we're going to take a pause at this point. We've got the top three hobby resolutions coming up later on, as well as your picks, as well as our discussion about Warhammer World. But first of all, we'll have the news. Okay, so it's time for this week's news offerings. What have we got that's been announced over the past couple of weeks?
Well, Matt? It's been an unusual one with Christmas Day and everything, but we had some early pre-orders from Forge World on Christmas Day in the form of the aforementioned Ring Bearers, who are now gone, so if you do want them, sorry, you might have to get to Warhammer 1 until you get lucky there. Yeah. And they had the final two Hobbits for the Shire Force, Rosie Cotton and Gaffer Gamgee, and some flowers.
And some flowers.
Because, obviously, the Gaffer gets a bit angry when enemies get near his flowers, giving nearby hobbits a bit of a boost.
Cool.
That's not it, though. A couple of days later, they also had all the new Dunland stuff up for pre-order.
Yes.
So they had the Hearthcarls, the cavalry, and the new characters.
Of which all sold out, but I think they've gradually come back.
Yeah, they pretty much all sold out immediately. The horses came back in stock for a bit, but they may have gone again. Needless to say, it's been a super popular army.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a while since we had a brand new army for... I say brand new. They had some existing units back in the day, but it's good to see lots of new kits in quick succession. Yeah. In the list, in the book, there's one unit they haven't got. The Crowbane, are they? The flappy bird things.
Flappy Bird. From Dunland. I can't remember reading about them in them. Oh, the cloud. It's just a wisp of cloud. Those ones.
The birds, yeah.
Yeah, that Crowbane from Dunland. When they all hide all the fire and stuff on the...
Ah, so they're a unit in the rules, are they?
They are a unit in the rules.
And you could just use Dark Eldar. There's some crows in the Dark Eldar. Yeah,
I imagine we'll get models for them soonish. Okay. It wouldn't surprise me if they're available at the open day, perhaps.
Mm.
But yeah, that'd be cool. Little bases of birds to do nefarious birdie things. And steal objectives. So lots of cool Forge World stuff. But the big news really was on the Christmas Day reveal from Warhammer Community. Aether War, a brand new battle box, pitting the forces of Tzeentch against the Caradhron Overlords. Who saw that coming, eh?
Yeah, I think that was on a certain podcast.
I think that might have been on a certain podcast. This looks a really good box. It is €145, which is approximately £110. And it contains 3 Screamers, 6 Skyfires, and a Magister on Disc, which is an awesome-looking new model.
It is.
Against a Gunhauler, 6 Sky Wardens, and an Endrin Master with Aether Balloon thingy.
Divergence Suit, I think it's called, or something like that.
Dirigible Suit.
That's it, yeah, Dirigible
Suit. So, the contents of the box comes to £200 if you add all those kits together. That's really, really good value.
Yeah.
Again, you get, you know... the whole slot, half price, more or less. Which
and you get all the usual stuff. You get a little book, you get the tokens, you get the War Scroll cards for those units.
A little campaign pack them on with 2 or 3 different missions. So, yeah, looks really, really good. If it wasn't being good, I'd probably end up ordering that on Saturday, but I'm going to try and resist. What makes that a little bit more difficult, however, is that on the same day, we also have 2 new battle teams up for pre-order. Disciples of Tzeentch and Caradhron Overlords.
Yeah.
Overhauled and brought up to speed and brought in line with all the new awesome books. Tzeentch have a few new tricks. They have a passive -1 to hit if there's Tzeentch heroes nearby your units, which is pretty nasty, because that was traditionally your Nurgle
Flies
rule.
Flies, yeah.
That's much better than their reroll 1 saves that they generally have for Tzeentchy stuff. Pink Horrors have been reworked, so it... originally, they were separate units, and then they brought in the mechanic where, as you lost Pink Horrors, you got points.
You got, fate points, didn't you? But they were exclusively to spend on Horrors.
They were, and it would be a separate unit, and it was all a bit messy. Where now they've gone back to the old school, you lose a Pink Horror, 2 Blue Horrors join the unit. You lose a Blue Horror, a base of Yellow Horrors joins the unit. They are going to be an absolute nightmare to shift. They
this
are
just
going
turns
up in points, they say.
It's like a big tar pit unit, isn't it, this now? I bet they can do a bit of damage as well, can't they?
Yeah, well, they've got ranged attack, and they're a caster as well, Pink Horrors.
And if they keep all the bonuses when you do have them in Horde units,
Yeah.
Be really cool.
I reckon there'll be about 200 points a unit. So you'll start off with 30 models, but then over the course of the game, you've got like 50 wounds in each of those units. Wow. It's, yeah, pretty good. The casting mechanics are back, and there's some new builds of army that you can have. For example, one is a kind of group of cultists who can't summon anything apart from Lords of Change. And it starts off needing 9, I think it is.
8.
Summoning points, and then the next one costs a bit more, and then the next one costs 30.
I think it's 8, 16, and then 30.
Yeah, so they're limited on what they can cast, but yeah. They can get some Lord of Changes on the battlefield.
Yeah.
I was doing a little bit of calculations on my way home. And I reckon, depending on points, if you can get 6 heroes that can cast 2 spells each, plus your 3 Battle Line Pink Horrors, that is 15 spells a turn. If you can get them off for 2 turns, you get a Lord of Change turn 2.
Mm.
You then get all that lot, plus a bit more for the Lord of Change, to get another Lord of Change turn 4. I think it worked out. If your enemy has managed to cast 5 spells over the course of the game, you get a third Lord of Change turn 5. Again, this is assuming all the spells go off, but no doubt there'll be some shenanigans to get spells off.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, that sounds fun.
And he's become cheaper as well, I noticed. Lord of Change was 36 fate points in the current rules. He's now 30, so he's had a discount. I didn't notice what other changes there were in that summoning chart, though.
Yeah, I think Pink Horrors in general are going to be a bit more. Yeah. I think you're going to start with more elite army and then just go crazy with the magic and summon a load of stuff.
Yeah.
One of the builds can also take Flamers as battle line as well, which is cool because Flamers don't get enough love. And in that build, they get extra rend as well, which is always a bit of a problem for them. Yeah. I think a lot of these older books, there wasn't much in the way of high rend, was there?
Mm.
So, yeah, so that's cool. They are getting endless spells. They're getting awesome dice that come in pink, blue, and yellow.
The Destiny dice, I might get them. Very cool.
Caradhran Overlords don't get any scenery, they don't get any endless spell, unfortunately. They don't get any dice, but they do get a new book. And they do get frigates as battle line for a certain build.
Yes. Yeah, I was really excited by... I'm excited by both the sort of previews that they put out. But my favourite thing about the Caradhran Overlords that we've seen in the preview so far... Yeah, battle line frigates is really cool. But there's another skyport you can take, which allows you to... take Duradin, Duradin?
Dwadin.
Dwadin.
They are quite durable. Durable Duradin.
Durable, yeah.
Durable Dwadin.
In your army, not as allies, but as part of your army.
Part of your army. It's something we've seen in Cities of Sigmar. It's something we'll probably see in quite a few armies going forward, I reckon.
And, not also to mention, and this is just a general rule, this isn't a Skyport exclusive one, your Caradhran Overlord units that are in a ship, so in an ironclad or a frigate, they can shoot out of it.
Oh, yeah, they're garrisoned, aren't they? They can garrison the ships, yeah. I also saw the rule where they can, in combat, if they're within 3 inches of an enemy unit, I think one of the units is at the Thunderers, maybe, or they get extra power on the shooting attacks, so like can they enter attack, or it's plus one to hit or something, so they can like force enemies back out of combat.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's really cool.
They've never quite fit the Caradhran, and they changed some war scrolls within a couple of months of the book coming out, didn't they, originally?
And yeah.
It didn't really fit. I think they've reworked this, and they should hopefully be really cool.
I only had a couple of games with the Caradhran Overlords.
Against Zinch, I think.
I think Ogres as well. They played Ogres, yeah, which I got battered by. But stuff like the Thunderers are really, really cool, but they're quite short range. And if you don't time it right, they're just going to get charged and get killed. But imagine you've got a big unit of Thunderers and an Ironclad.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's fantastic.
Which, if they're garrisoned as well... We have to check this, but I reckon they'll count as being in range of objectives as well.
Yeah.
Because they're garrisoned within that unit.
The rule I quite like the look of is the one where they can just take off again. They can just
fly high,
and then redeploy. I mean, I love redeploying, like playing Sylvaneth, like moving around the battlefield. It's really frustrating to play against. It's a really cool skill, like ability to have.
Imagine that on shifting objectives. It's like, oh, that objective over there is now worth 3 points. Whoop. There you go. I've got that. Thanks.
It does force the enemy to... You have to... Think about leaving units around the board so people can't sort of deep strike in.
I'm very tempted to do an armada, a full sky fleet with all the ships. Always wanted to do this, it's never been possible with the old book. Hopefully at the open day we see some sneak peeks. Well, it'll be on pre-order on Saturday.
Yes, on pre-order, yeah. Yeah, so we might see some more tasty information. So a great value box and two
Really good sounding books.
Very good sounding books.
But that's not the only news we got on Christmas Day. We got some 40k news. I mean, we kind of already knew this, but the next Psychic Awakening book features the Dark Angels and a brand new model for Lazarus.
Yes.
A Primaris-sized Dark Angel who looks amazing.
Who's not Azrael.
He's not Azrael.
I remember two people on this podcast absolutely.
No, I thought it might be Ezekiel, the librarian. That's what I thought it was.
I think this guy looks really cool. And what we've also seen today is the same kit builds just a general.
It's the same Primaris guy. Master. It's the same guy, just with a different helmet. One with a helmet, one without.
There's a power fist as well. It's a different guy.
I was going to say, I was reading the comments on the Facebook after you showed us that picture, and somebody, I assume Nick Baton on their Facebook duties, put. Is it not him now?
No.
He put that obviously the build with the sword and holding the helm is the character. However, you've got other options in there to make him just a general Primaris master.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Why have we not seen this before in the other guys? Because that'd be amazing.
Well, we saw this with the Sister Battle in Ucanon S when they said that she'll be able to build different options.
Yeah. I mean like on the other Space Marine kits that they've brought out, they've all been that character, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've been dual character kits.
That's right. I like this. This is a good thing.
It's almost like a throwback to, I mean, remember the multi-part Space Marine Commander box?
Yeah. I think that was on one of my favourite top threes, not all that long ago.
Was it? Yeah.
That kit, yeah.
So that's really cool. But that's not the only Space Marine news we've had.
Squint your eyes for this bit.
So, if you're a fan of really tiny, super pixelised pictures, there's something that kind of drifted its way into the Sprues and Brews inbox the other day. Now, this looks to be, and again, it is a really, really bad picture. And there were some question marks about it being legit. I think it is, just really poor quality. That seems to show Primaris Landspeeder, Primaris bikes, and a new vehicle. And potentially a close combat dreadnought, but the picture's so bad it could be a really distorted plasma cannon.
I thought it was Lego Space Marines.
I hope this picture is real. That Landspeeder looks brilliant. From that pixelated picture, I mean, it looks big.
It was only last week we were talking about the old school Landspeeder, and you're like, I'm not a fan of that.
No, not a fan of that. This I'm a fan of, though. I mean, it looks big.
Looks like it's got three crew in it. I can see three yellow Blood Angel helmets in that massive pixel.
And it has, like, the repulsor. What?
Repulsor from.
Yeah, with the grab plates at the bottom.
Gravitic repulsors or whatever they're called,
With what looks like Typhoon rockets on the back.
And the bikes as well.
The bikes, yeah.
They can't really see the bikes.
You can see that they're bikes.
You can see that they're bikes. They look like chunky bikes. Well, the old bikes are pretty chunky, but why would they be in that image? They've got to be.
Well, so this may be something that's going to be revealed at the open day. I've seen other theories that say this is probably an image out of the new 9th edition rulebook, potentially.
Yeah,
could be a mix of, because there's Ultramarines and Blood Angels in the same picture, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which is unusual.
I hope we see this on Saturday, because this could make my mind up on 40k.
I think that if it's leaked, they're going to show it, aren't they? Let's face it, Games Workshop don't tend to sit on it for too long once it's been leaked.
No.
Whether this is a whole new wave of Space Marines, a little bit frustrating if the books only come out a couple of months ago.
Yeah. Which could be what you were saying about it maybe being a picture from the 9th edition rulebook.
Which we don't know how far away that is. I mean, it's inevitable, there's always going to be a new edition. We just don't know where in the schedule this sits.
Yeah.
Normally the summer. It wouldn't surprise me if it was this summer. It could be next summer.
I think it could be this summer, and it could be at Warhammer Fest.
And at that point, the Space Marine book's been out a year, so arguably you've got your money's worth out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will see. Either way, very exciting. And, I enjoyed playing with my Iron Ravens the other day, so I might have to add some bikes and stuff to them.
Well, we'll talk about what happened, but yeah, I mean, that day did sort of tempt me towards. Well, I've had to fight Space Marines quite a few times in the past few weeks, and they're very good.
We've got some more events coming at Warhammer World, some interesting ones, some team events. So in April, there's going to be a 40k team event and an Age of Sigmar team event. I think they tested the water with this last year, and it was super popular. Essentially, you gather a team of four people, you get to meet your team of four people that you're playing. Your team will get to pick your defender, which of your guys you think is going to hold the line against their toughest player. You put that face down. They pick which of their two. They also pick their defender. You flip them over so you know who you're fighting on the other team. You then draw your two top players. who you'd think it'd be best to fight that person, put them both down. They do the same. They pick which one of them they want to fight against their defender. You do the same, then the other players get paired off. So a bit of a game before a game mechanic. Psych out your opponent phase, and yeah. I think that'll be fun.
Unlucky for them, we bring in four Vorgraphs.
I think in the last one there was a White Dwarf team, a Warhammer Community team, and a Studio team, so
there'll have to be a Spruce and Bruce team then.
I think there's gonna have to be a Spruce and Bruce team. So yeah, so these are for 40k and Age of Sigmar, and it sounds like a fun kind of different event. I think it's more Throne of Skulls than GT, but you've got the team element as well, a bit of camaraderie. I think that'd be a laugh.
I can't wait for this. I'm really excited about this.
I think the tickets go on sale soonish. And I don't know how much they are. It's like 200 odd quid, but it's split between four people, so that isn't too bad.
With a meal thrown in over 2 days.
Let's do this. Should do that. I'm sure we can find a ringer for our fourth member. And then we've got some sad news to end this segment. I think it was on like Christmas morning we found out.
It was Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
Christmas Eve.
That, well, I think it might have been before that that the news leaked, but Christmas Eve was when it became
official.
Official.
Mr. Duncan Rhodes has left Games Workshop.
Sad news, but also good news for Duncan. I imagine he's after something good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So well, his Twitter handle's changed now.
Yeah.
Two thin coats. Yeah. He's still got the hashtag charge everything on there, so you know, it's a little bit of spruce and bruise that he's carrying with him.
Yeah.
But we wish Duncan all the best. He hasn't announced what he's doing next, but it sounds like he's going to share that imminently.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a massive inspiration and got loads of people into the hobby and done some awesome painting videos, and I think he's really been kind of like the figurehead of the new Games Workshop. There's more kind of community interaction thing, so
and he's left a very strong team behind him with Nick and Peachy,
and they'll still be doing the painting video, so you know, it's all good.
They're my go too. I use those painting videos all the time. Durfew, I think, was one of the first videos I painted.
Archeon, I painted using that, and Nagash,
Alariel. Duncan showed me how to paint Alariel.
Very sad to see him go, but really look forward to seeing what his next adventure is. Cool. Is that it for all the news, Matt?
It is all the news.
We're all newsed out, so we're going to get a fresh brew and then move on to the next segment. Okay, so just after Christmas, the three of us, along with a couple of friends, went over to Warhammer World for our annual pilgrimage to the Great Halls to roll some dice. And, have fun.
We had a bit of fun, didn't we?
We had lots of fun.
So, it was the three of us. We had a friend of the channel, Brett, who brought his
Imperial Knights.
Yep.
Past YouTube collaborator, Mike, brought his Necrons. A bit of a dark horse at the event.
Yes.
And then we had a spare slot, so Mr. Ben Bailey turned up with his Filthy J Paladins. They were pretty good.
Yeah, they were. Well, I fought them before, so I knew exactly what you guys were getting into when you were... Because you both played them, didn't you?
We did, yeah. So we I think one of the guys who meant to come with us unfortunately couldn't make it, and we had a spare slot. And Ben saw on Twitter that we had a player down, and it's like, oh, I'm not far away. Can I come and play Toy Soldiers?
So we managed to get, was it two games in on day one?
Yep.
And two games in on day two.
Yeah, that's right.
Two games on day two. But we did spend quite a bit of time chilling in Bugman's, checking out the shop and stuff.
Buying Lord of the Rings.
We were playing the 2,000 points, which is, average is 1750, so they were big games for Warhammer.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, some of us were using armies that were not 100%, like, au fait with.
And, you know, we weren't too concerned about having to batter through as many games as we could. Just nice, comfortable place, some games on the night. We booked the nice feature tables.
They were lovely
tables.
They were fantastic tables. Check out our Twitter feed for some images from that. And I'll put some in the podcast notes as well on the website. Yeah, they were really nice boards. Well done for booking those, Matt. They were fantastic. And there were some very cool moments as well throughout the weekend.
There was a lot of cinematic moments.
There was also some chicken moments.
What was your favourite moment of the games that you played then,
Dave? My favourite moment of the game was scaring Gulliman away. So, just to give you a bit of background here, very quickly in turn one, Jay had got Gulliman some intercessors on the centre objective. I charged up with my Swarm Lord and my Hive Tyrant.
They both made the charge, but unfortunately the Swarm Lord was an inch off. He declared a charge on both Gulliman and the Intercessors, but he only made it into combat with the Intercessors. He proceeded to batter them. Gulliman then piled in to fight
heroically the Swarm Lord. Intervened.
Heroically intervened, but only managed to do 3 damage to my Swarm Lord. Yeah. Before my Swarm Lord could shoot fire back, you pull Gulliman out.
I fell back.
He ran away.
This wasn't running away. The Ultramarine's trait is to fall back.
And unfortunately, Jay, I was reading up about this afterwards because I wanted to use a stratagem to fight again. And even Ben Bailey said I couldn't do it. But I could do it because I declared Gulliman as part of my charge.
Even though you didn't make him into combat with
him? Even though I didn't make him into combat with him. I declared him because you overwatched against me.
We did.
So even though I didn't make it in that initial charge, I declared him as a opponent in the combat phase.
In which case you couldn't make the charge, because you have to make the charge against everything you declare against.
No,
so you would have failed the charge.
In 40k?
Yep.
Mm,
if you charge multiple targets, you have to hit them all.
Don't think that's right, is it?
Either way,
Gulliman fell back, but the Swarm Lord took pretty much an entire Ultramarine's army to take him down.
Ultramarines and custodians.
Amazing.
There was custodians there as well. They were present.
It was amazing how long he lasted against all that firepower, all those bolt rifles, Redemptor dreadnoughts. I think it was the repulsor actually that finished him off.
It was my last gun on the repulsor that finished him off. Gatling heavy.
It was so amazing. It was brilliant. Really, really cool. What was your favourite moment, Matt?
I think in my game against Brett, it was super, super close all the way through. I could pretty much focus down a knight per turn, but these knights were, you know, gaining on me pretty quickly. And he had the big, scary Forge World one with the big flamer, the Atropox, is it, with the gravity gun?
Black Olga.
Yeah, so that was a bit concerning for my repulsor, just hiding behind a building. But the moment of the match was... I think we were fairly even. I think if I could get one more objective, I'd tip it in my favour. So the librarian sprinting across the battlefield. In the previous turn, he'd managed to use his psychic shenanigans to move again in the psychic phase. The following turn, he's got his eye on this objective. He charges into a knight. So the knight's like, okay, smack. He survives. He fluffs all his attacks. The librarian powers in 3 inches just around to tag this objective to win the game.
But what a heroic librarian.
I think he had like one wound left. This librarian should have been dead, but against all the odds, won a fight against a knight and, yeah, powered into the objective.
That is impressive.
Part fluke, part awesome librarian. But yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed the game against Ben, even though it was pretty much over by the roll for priority. Imperial Fists, man, they are good, aren't they?
Extra damage against vehicles. They sniped Gilliman from, like, out of line of sight. I think they did, like, 14 damage to him or something, and I failed my comeback-to-life roll. What were those things he had? Oh, yeah, servitor-powered sentry turrets, but it wasn't a servitor. I think they dragged Dawn's body out of a coffin and nailed it into one of those heavy bolt turrets, the amount of damage it was doing. Cool looking army though. I like the war suit with the marine outside of it. He's like stepped out of his war suit. Pretty cool. Good. I did say to him that means you can't fire your guns on the war suit, but
apparently he still could.
Remote control.
I've seen on Twitter he's just built 3 Redemptors as well.
Excellent.
So yeah, dreads all the way.
Was your favourite moment from the weekend?
My favourite moment was using my entire Ultramarines of Custodian army in a shooting phase to down the Swarm Lord. I cannot believe how much firepower that monster soaked up.
But he had to die.
He had to die because, I mean, like the sword of the Emperor just bounced off of his shoulder plates. I thought, oh God, if Gilman can't take him down, I am in trouble. I also quite like the fight. This was also against Dave. I decided to deep strike Constantine Valdor.
He's not
Constantine Valdor. He's an Alaris shield captain, but I use the Valdor model because it's my favourite model I've made ever. And he deep striked right at the back of your board because you'd left your objective with just the Warhammer World maintenance guy and
the Nexus and because I had a Gene Seal Cult / Tyranid army. 2 detachments. I had the Nexus, just 1 unit of Brood Brothers on that
yeah. with las guns on that objective.
So he deep striked in at the back, failed his charge, and then in your turn, you used some sneaky Gene Steeler cultish shenanigans to...
I bought in all my reserves, but I bought my Patriarch over there.
Yeah.
And used Perfect Ambush for 3 CP to move him, 4 inches yeah, closer like... to make that charge easier, because you know what I'm like when it comes to charging. I had to make it as easy as possible. Which I did actually make the charge.
You made the charge, and then we both just sort of like fluffed, didn't do anything yeah. to each other, no.
But you made up for that in the next round.
Oh, yeah, you chopped your head off in this round. Right. And to be fair, I mean, it was a good photo, though. It looked good.
Yeah,
like, lined up to fight each other. That board was just so cool.
Yeah, it was.
And there were some very good games, though. I played Mike, the Necrons.
Yes.
And then I also played Ben Belly. I think that was my first game. The Jade Paladins. That's how you use a Space Marine army, not how I use a Space Marine army.
I played against Brett's Knights, and I think it was the mismatch of the century. I got absolutely battered by those Knights. In that scenario that we're playing, all that he just sat on the objectives, and I couldn't get him off because he was killing everything he was shooting. He shot at something, it died. I wasn't expecting, because I've never really played an Imperial Knight army before. So I don't know a lot about all the different houses you can
play
take.
An Imperial army. You survive an Imperial army.
I use massive gnosis.
Unless you're a librarian, you run away.
On his big knight that had the big gravity gun thing, I'd cast massive gnosis on it to stop it from overwatching. So old one eye had a nice charge into him. So they declared the charge. Wasn't expecting him to use a 2 CP stratagem so that the knight stood just behind him with the big flamer.
For the great
flame on, and it just murdered the one eye.
Just to say, the missions we played, they were really good.
Yeah, we played a lot of the new missions from Chapter Approved, including the brand new one. I can't remember what it's called now, but that was really fun.
My favourite one.
The one where you've got 6 objectives and they'll disappear over the course of the game.
Yes, that was it.
And you
know
the order they're going to disappear.
That was my favourite one. That was such a good game.
It was so tactical.
Yeah.
Like, I played Mike. That was our first game, wasn't it? While we were there, I thought it was ace.
Yeah, so basically you have 6 objectives down. 1 and 6 are what you place, so you and the opponent place 1 and 6, and they stay there for the entire game. They're worth 1 victory point. The other 4 objectives that you place down, you then assign a number 1 to 4 to. Two to five. And then at the end of that battle round, those objectives disappear. So at the end of battle round 2, objective 2 disappears. In a battle round 3,
the beginning of the battle round.
Really cool. You try not to overcommit to a point that's not going to be there in a turn.
It's really good because you know where it's worth falling back, and like it's not worth putting too much pressure on that number 2 if it's only going to be there a turn.
Unless you
reinforce your other ones.
It plays more like a real time strategy because you're actually moving units around and, like you say, falling back at strategic times to make sure you're in a position to claim objectives in the following turn.
We've seen a lot of cross pollination. I hope we see that in next year's General's Handbook.
I think missions like this mix it up when you've got like your castle armies, like your tower and stuff, because you might only have a turn or two to get a particular objective in. You know, you want to try and get the score those points because
it means you need to take transports, move units around. Unlike maybe, you know, there's an objective that's going to be there for 4 turns. Maybe that one's worth defending. Let's move some heavy weapons over there and hold that for a few turns because we don't need the heavy weapons over here where it's only around for 1 turn.
Yeah, your glass cannon all or nothing army, it might get some objectives turn 1, but then suddenly they're degrading. So hang on a second, you're going to have to weather the whole battle.
My favourite 40k mission by far.
Yeah, it was really, really good. A good selling point for Chapter Approved.
Yeah.
Nice one, GW.
So we'd highly recommend, if you've got a group of people, book some tables at Warhammer World. If you go on the website, you'll find their phone number and email address, and they're really helpful.
And they also do fantastic sausage baps.
They do fantastic sausage baps. If you do book tables as well, they had a friendly member of staff with a list of everyone who's booked it, and they've got numbers on the tables. It was really well organised, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's really good.
I think it probably was fully booked because it was busy.
I mean, we've not had a bad experience at Warhammer World yet in regards to staff and other users of the halls. But I can imagine that guy is there, so, you know, if somebody's like, well, I want to play on that table, you've got somebody there just to say, no, this person's booked it.
Yeah. I think they give you an hour's grace. I think we had an extra table on one of the days and let them know, you know, as soon as we could, that it was free.
Yeah.
Just because we're conscious of, yeah, there's a lot of people playing. But yeah, yeah, definitely recommend going to Warhammer World and playing some Toy Soldiers.
It's a good, for me, it's a good motivation to get an army painted, and because they look so good on those tables.
Yeah, yeah,
they do. Your arms do. It's really, you know,
it's,
difference.
It's, we're quite fortunate in the fact that we've got tables at home, we can play at home, but it's just something I'm playing on, you know. We'd never build a table with a crashed Warlord Titan in the centre of it, you know?
Yeah, I didn't get to play on that board.
Oh, no.
Good.
Next
maybe
time,
next
then.
Time. Maybe next time I'll try and play on that one. So, yeah, that was our... I mean, we're not going to wait a year, are we, to go back and play again?
No,
we'll be back there for the Throne of Skulls, and then I reckon we sort out some sort of trip in May, end of May,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, Sigmar, yeah. 40k, or we'll mix it up. I mean, next month, we, Lord we of the Rings.
2019 for us was the year of Age of Sigmar, and it was actually really nice to play 40k.
I enjoyed 40k.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe this year will be Age of 40k.
Age of 40k.
Age of 40k. For 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Right, we're going to take a ever so slight pause there, and we're going to come back with our top three for this week. Okay, so our top three is going to be a little bit extended this time because...
It's the director's cut.
This is director's cut, yeah. Because we've done this top three before, last year.
This time last year.
It wasn't. It was the second podcast of the year because I made that mistake trying to listen back to hear which ones I'd done. So what we decided to do is we decided to review.
See, this isn't right. If I'd known a year ago you were going to be checking up on me a year later.
Right. Well, you know for 2021 now that whatever resolutions you make in a few moments in this week's top
Good
three,
point.
You've got to, you know, try and achieve before next year. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through our top three resolutions for last year, see how we got on, and then, of course, we'll set our stalls out for 2020 and what our resolutions are for this year. So,
last year... My number three resolution was do a tournament for each system. Now, I'm going to give myself like a half point for this one. I have done a 40k tournament. Yes, I have, at the Unicorns. Yeah, I have done multiple Age of Sigmar tournaments. Haven't managed to do a Lord of the Rings ones. Not for one to try, and they sell out super quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't done any of the more unusual ones like...
I think you mentioned Heresy on Heresy, our podcast, yeah.
So... I think I give it a good effort, though, at doing some tournaments. And really enjoyed doing them.
Well, Matt. Right, you might not have done all four of those tournaments, but you did pick up a trophy from Throne of Skulls.
I did, and I came third in the Unicorns event as well.
Yeah, so that's got to mean, you know, well, you didn't get a tournament for Lord of the Rings in, but you've won trophies.
In fact, in that episode, I was like, oh, I might take Vorgrath to the Throne of Skulls for a laugh.
Yeah.
It worked out all right.
Yeah, it did work out all right.
So, Dave, you said you wanted to take better care of your brushes and paints.
Yes, and I have. I have. I've not bought a new brush for quite a while.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I like to think that's what big tick on that.
Have you knocked over any bottles of paint?
This year, yeah, I knocked over one Angel's Contrast. Yeah, so
not
I
have
oil.
It's still not oil I knock over.
Yeah. Was it Agrax Earthshade I spilled over this year as well? I might have done that as well. So... But, you know, I think that is a full-on 1 point for Dave there.
That is good, that is good. Yeah. I think Dave is winning so far.
One to half.
Jason, you said you would set up a permanent hobby station.
Ah, right, yeah, well. To be fair, this, I tried, I had my gaming room, that was all done. There wasn't a permanent hobby station there. And having three kids running around the place makes it tricky. Oh, this year though, this year, I have got a table now where I can do all my hobbying.
Yeah.
It's not a permanent hobby, dedicated hobby station. However, because we've moved house, there's a table in the dining room that I can sit at and paint models, and yet I can still see the TV in the living room.
You have got somewhere to sit.
Yeah.
That's half a market at least.
Yeah.
I think Dave's won the first one though. So our second choice, I wanted to do more battle reports. I think we technically did slightly less battle reports than we had the previous year. We did some good battle reports though.
Yeah.
Some, you know, high production value Sylvaneth versus Slaanesh.
The latest battle reports we did, I'm a bit biased, but I don't normally watch much of the stuff we record afterwards because I don't like watching like stuff I've done.
Just
however,
not a fan, are you?
No, but those yeah, just don't like. But those last battle reports, I could watch them. They're really entertaining. I think it's the editing. give it a watch if you've not watched yet. They're only short battle reports, aren't they? 1,000 points.
We tried to keep them smallish.
Yeah, and I think the editing makes them really, really watchable. So I would give you a point for that map, because especially for editing of those battle reports, some of the best edited battle reports I've ever seen.
I do think we need to do more of them going forward, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're in a position now where we've got a lot of painted armies we can use in battle reports.
Pretty sure we said that last year. But we've got an even better situation this year.
Okay. I'll give myself a half of that one, because, yeah. Dave, you wanted to have a better ratio of buying models to painting models.
I've tried to work out if I've achieved this. And I think
I think most of
the models I've bought last year have been painted.
Yeah. You've got that massive Uruk army painted, which started with the contrast challenge. And then
all the Eldar stuff I got hold of.
You paint a lot.
Your Stormcast. Guardians. The Stormcast I've painted.
Your Undead.
My Undead are painted.
You've done a lot of painting this year, Dave.
Yeah. I think most of the stuff I've bought, I have painted this year.
I think you have achieved that.
Look at that.
You're a swap.
two out of two.
You need some harder New Year's
resolution. JJJ. Jason, for a second choice, said he was going to limit himself to only collecting Black Legion and Gloomspike Gits. He was going to start no other new armies apart from them.
Do you know what? I can only just remember saying that. How many armies ago was that?
I think that lasted about a week.
The Black Legion never made it to the battlefield.
The Black Legion, what did I paint? I painted
Abaddon?
I didn't paint Abaddon. I painted a unit of Raptors. I painted 3 out of 10 Chaos Space Marines. And then I did a lot of base coat preparations on the rest of the 7. And that's all I did. Oh, when I painted the character, but I think I did that before Christmas.
I think it was very unlucky timing with the Black Legion. Because you had to wait so long for them to come out. I think the bubble had burst in your head.
Interest
really
had waned a little bit by the time the book was actually out.
But you did do well with your Gloomspite.
Yeah, I painted a lot of Gloomspite. I painted the Trogoths, I painted the Fanatics, I painted all the goblins, I painted a character. And actually, I've got all my Gloomspite kits still. I do actually, they're a good army to use, they're fun to play with.
And to be fair, I think you've been, for us, pretty restrained in buying new armies this year.
Yeah, because I've tended this year, I've found, to go back. Sometimes I've taken a plunge and bought a book and then not done anything with it because, I'll do them, but then I haven't. So I haven't really gone overboard buying the models.
I think you said at the time, adding stuff to old armies is fine, not going out and buying a whole new army like we'd normally do.
Yeah, and I have done a lot of painting on the old army. So I've got a lot of Eldar painted this year, which is my old army. I got some more Custodians painted this year. I got Space Marines painted this year, and these were all armies I had.
Your Seraphon, technically you had a Seraphon army.
Seraphon, yeah. Sylvaneth, I had a bit of the Sylvaneth army.
So I don't think you've started any other new armies apart from them?
No.
That I can think of off the top of my head?
No.
I think you've come close.
I've come close to starting new armies. And and I'm in two minds over in the new year, but we'll get to that. So
I think you've done pretty well there. Don't think you finished the Black Legion. I don't think you finished the Gloomsight Gits, but I'm sure you'll come back to them at some point.
Give me half a point. Give me quarter of a point.
I'll give you half a point there. Unfortunately, I think Dave's still winning. So we've gone to our top choices. I wanted to paint 4 armies. Gene Steeler Cults, Fire Slayers, Adeptus Titanicus, Legio Ignatum, and a Heresy army, potentially Demons. I didn't do the last two, but I have painted 4 armies this year. I've painted a Khorne army. I did the Gene Steeler Cults. It's 1,000 points, it's still an army. I did 2,000 points of Fire Slayers. I did the Idoneth Deepkin. I did
Iron Ravens.
Cities of Sigmar army. I've done the Iron Ravens. 6 armies?
That's really impressive.
That's not bad going, is it?
You did your Seekers, Slaaneshi Seekers.
I already had a lot of them already painted, though. Same with the Ever Chosen, I added a few characters and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, 6 brand new armies. That's pretty good going.
Hobbits?
I painted a unit.
Okay. There's just a lot of hobbits.
I actually painted a Rohan force as well.
Yeah, you did paint a Rohan force.
Yeah, so okay.
I think you can get a full point for that.
Yeah.
You didn't do a Heresy or a Titanicus, but you more than made up for that.
No.
In other armies.
And I do want to finish those armies as well. With the airbrush, painting Titans is so nice.
Cool.
So, Dave, you wanted to finish your Tale of Gamers.
Oh,
done this one as well.
No, well, I didn't, did I?
Oh, your Telgames was your Uruks. Oh, that was a contrast challenge.
Yeah, that was a contrast challenge.
Eldar.
Was so it was Eldar, and it was. What was my Age of Sigmar?
Stormcast.
Okay. Okay. I did half of it. So my Eldar, I stopped after, I think, 2 months. I'd managed to paint a Farseer, a Wraith Lord, a unit of Wraith Blades, a Flyer, Dire Avengers, and a unit of Guardians.
Yeah, I think you wheel about 1,000 points each painter.
Yeah, because we did have 1,000
points. I'll only give you that.
But I was very much into Age of Sigmar and my
I was going to say, we got a bit distracted by Age of Sigmar.
We did. And we did finish that 1,000 points of 40k.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you've done well. And you've done your Uruks on top of that.
Yeah, that was a really fun contrast challenge. That was really... And that, then obviously it's blossomed on then. And, you know, I'm playing around with lists with other Uruk stuff in it now, so...
Yeah, I'm giving you the mark for that, Dave. Oh, I think you've done well.
3 out of 3.
Jay... You've got paint more scenery.
Oh, right.
How much scenery have you painted this year?
does a scenic base on a model count?
Yeah. You've got lots of scenery to paint.
I've got loads because it all came with the Conquest.
Yeah.
I've not even built that yet. But, yeah, no. Failed. I actually thought mine was to paint every warband from Shadespire, but that must have been a different thing I said I was going to do and never
yeah,
did.
I think you just said that.
I was going to say you didn't do that either.
No. No.
But you know, I'm sure the intent to paint scenery was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to paint some scenery. I love scenery.
Yeah. Matt does love scenery. Matt does love painting his scenery.
I could see Matt painting all that scenery and I thought, we don't need any more scenery.
This
Matt's
is true.
Painting a load of scenery. Why waste
he's
years?
He's painting my quota. And I think we did say on last week's podcast, Matt will have like 3 weeks spare every month, so we'll leave him
painting scenery. I don't mind painting scenery. Like I did the stuff out of Warcry in a week. That was really fun. And now I've got me extra weapons and tools.
Yeah.
Nail it now.
I didn't paint any scenery, but I've painted up quite a bit this year because I've painted up 3 armies myself.
You have? You've done well.
I painted up my dwarfs for Throne of Skulls. I painted the Contrast Challenge Lizardmen.
Yeah. I really like those armies.
Ultramarines. They've all been painted this year and I've got about 1,200 points of them painted now. That's 3 armies and then I've added 2 existing armies, but I painted 3 new armies.
You painted
this year.
Quite a bit for the Sylvaneth, didn't you, as well?
I added a lot to the Sylvaneth, but that was an existing army.
Yeah.
I painted the Titans from Adeptus Titanicus.
Yeah.
I painted Dwarf Blood Bowls last year. I painted them.
I think that's pretty good going. So, on the whole, I think Dave has hit every one of his targets.
We need some harder New Year's resolutions than Dave.
Okay.
So, I think that's a good segue into our top 3 for this year, isn't
it? So, now the pressure's on, Jay. Now that you know this could come back next year.
Yeah.
To not haunt you, but just to remind you.
I need a bit more time to think about these. You two go first.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go first with my third choice. So my third choice is I really want 2020 to be the year that I treat myself to a foldable table,
ooh,
get some boards painted and some scenery painted, and be able to have people around mine to play some games.
Sounds good.
I would love to go around yours and play a game.
Are you going for some like Realm of Battle painted or some of the vinyl mats?
I think I'm going to go for vinyl mats.
Yeah.
I might offload I might keep one of my tiles, but I might offload my other ones and just have one because I really want to do armies on parade. I might keep one Age of Sigmar one and one 40k and get rid of the other ones. Because who doesn't like the sound of dice hitting those vinyl mats?
Yeah.
Plus, it's more time then to paint the scenery because I've got a ton of Sector Mechanicus stuff begging to be painted and other various odds and bits and ends and stuff like the old City Imperialis scenery. Yeah. I'd like to get some of the new stuff as well.
The new stuff's really nice.
That's what I'd like to do in 2020. Be able to have people around mine to play games. I don't just mean on the floor. Your third choice, Matt.
So, this year I did Throne of Skulls, we did the doubles, we've done some unicorn events which are a bit more competitive. This year I want to enter some different types of tournaments. I want to enter a GT, I want to enter a team event, I want to do some of the narrative events just to get all the different ways to play because we very much focus on the match play side of things. But I think there's a lot of love in the community for the kind of narrative side, and I think we can have fun doing those kind of events as well. So I bought my ticket for the GT. I may get absolutely battered during the GT, but at least I've given it a go.
Yeah, definitely.
And my logic is play some games against some really good Warhammer players, you're going to get better at Warhammer yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's my logic. Team events, I think it'd be a laugh. Even if we came dead last, we would have some fun. And then the narrative events, I think it'd be cool to... There's this one, the Throne of Skulls in February, I'm very tempted to get a ticket for. You get a free character as part of your army, and they get level up and stuff over the course of the event. Oh, is this the meeting engagements? Yeah, there's some meeting engagements, and there's some proper battles. Different types of games.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do this year.
Are you ready for your third choice?
I've got my third choice.
Okay.
My third choice, my New Year's resolution, is to finish my Ultramarines army.
Okay.
Because that's a nice, easy one to start with.
Easing yourself in.
Easing myself in.
What is finished in terms of an Ultramarine army? 2,000 points or what, 1,750?
2,000 points plus the Primarch, plus Gilman.
Okay,
because nice. I want to have 2,000 point armies that don't have Gilman in them all the time. So 2,000 points plus Gilman. So I've got about 1,000 points to paint.
Okay.
I've got some of the models already.
Well, there might be some stuff you can add to it.
There might be some more stuff I can add to it as well. Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually. So that's my first, is to finish that Ultramarines army.
My second choice is quite a broad one, but what I really want to do, because I am so scatter at different armies and stuff, I want to take up some of my existing armies to the next level.
Oh.
So I want to outline what I want to do. So I want to take to 3,000 points my Stormcast Eternals.
3,000 points of Stormcast?
Well, I've got 2,000, so we're talking an extra 1,000.
Yeah.
Basically gives me army building options. I want to take my Orcs up to 3,000 points, again, for tactical options. I want to take my Adeptus Mechanicus up to 2,000 points, because they're lacking, and I've only got probably about 1,000 points of them painted. And I want to take my Tyranids up to 2,000 points.
Excellent.
So I'm really close with those. It wouldn't take much to take them to 2,000 points fully painted. But yeah, that's my... My second choice is to get those armies...
Go big or go home.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Your second choice, Matt?
So my second choice is to play some more games outside of 40k and Age of Sigmar. So we're talking Lord of the Rings, Necromunda, Kill Team, Warcry, Adeptus Titanicus, Aeronautica, Blood Bowl, all that cool stuff that we always say, these are really fun games. Like, I really enjoyed playing Lord of the Rings the other day.
It was Ace game, that was. Really, really good, yeah.
So we're going to do a bit of a Necromunda campaign. I think we'll have it on YouTube as well, because I think that'll give us a bit of a motivation to do it. And yet all these other games that where you only need to paint a unit and we can have an hour playing a game, and we'll still play some 40k and Age of Sigmar alongside that. I think it'd be good just to have a palate cleanser in all these other smaller games.
Yeah.
This year is the year we're playing them.
Good call. Your second choice, Jay?
My second choice is to paint, because as well as the gaming side, I do quite enjoy the painting side, to paint some small one-off sort of like centrepiece models, not necessarily an army, just a model. So for example, your Inquisitor Eisenhorn.
Oh yeah.
Models like that, just to paint them, but to really go to town on them and try and just like improve on my painting technique.
Yeah. Would you enter it in Golden Demon?
Not necessarily enter it in Golden Demon.
Why not?
Well, because I'm not that fussed, really.
I feel like I'm interviewing you now.
Yeah. Spotlight.
Because that nearly made my list. Enter something in Golden Demon. Doesn't matter if you don't place, just for the experience of entering something into it.
Yeah. It's just, I think, I'm quite good, I think, now at painting good-looking tabletop models, but I'd like to see if I could try and improve it one step further to go to, like, a display. So
yeah, cool.
If they do them this year, and I think they will do, would you guys be interested in going to some of the heavy metal masterclasses? Where you get, it's essentially the same step as a tournament, you go to Warhammer World for 2 days in a small class with an heavy metal painter that will teach you how to do faces, how to do flame transitions.
That might be a really good idea, actually.
I think for you two that would be really good, but I think I'm probably another year out from that. I don't think I would feel comfortable. I think I definitely enjoy painting 110% more than I did maybe a year, 2 years ago, but I don't think I'm quite at that level yet. I think I'll give it another year.
Yeah, I think I fancy doing one of those, because you've got that one-on-one time with the heavy metal painters just to give you those. It's completely different following a video or a tutorial to having somebody with you showing you how to paint.
They can point out the mistakes you're making. I think
that'd be dead good. Cool. We're around to our top choices. So my top choice is, I have this year got two 2,000 point Age of Sigmar armies.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't achieved a 40k 2,000 point army. Therefore, this year,
I am going to start and finish at least 2,000 points of a brand new Warhammer 40,000 army.
Okay.
Now, at the moment, that is Gene Steel the Cults. This weekend, it might change. but by the end of this year, I will have got a brand new Warhammer 40,000 2,000 point army.
Okay, you go for 2,000, not the 1750 tournament standard.
Nope. 2,000 points. 2,000 points.
That's a big challenge for Gene Steel the Cult.
Yeah, well, I've had quite a few lists with Gene Steel the Cult. I just should have a shadow sword in it. No, yeah. I've got lists that don't have a shadow sword in it. But I'll probably paint that as well.
That's cool.
Because I think that'll be really cool.
Are you gonna structure your year how you do it, or just wing it and see how you go?
Just wing it, probably.
Best way.
What I'd also like to tag on to this, and it's something I really wish I'd done more of last year, is put more of my progress on spruesandbrews.com as well. Because I think the website could do with a few posts like that, yeah, about what we're doing in the hobby. We do a lot of that on Twitter, but I want to try and get a bit more of it on the actual website as well.
That sounds good to me. That sounds very similar to what I want to do. I've got a lot of stuff unpainted. Now, I'm not going to buy anything else until I paint it all, because we all know that's going to happen. I will be buying miniatures on Saturday when we're at the open day. What I do want to do is in 2020, is a leap year, don't you know? We have got 366 days on which Warhammer could happen. I want there to be some Warhammer every day of the year. That might not be painting a miniature, it might be building something. It could be listening to an audiobook, it could be reading a codex. But I want to chronicle every single day on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. If you listen to this, you'll notice that the first few are already up. Mm. And chronicle it on the website as well.
Yeah.
Hashtag Warhammer366 if you want to join along at home. And try and do some Warhammer, doesn't matter what it is, a little bit of Warhammer every day.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Very cool.
Yeah, your hobbits have started you off this year.
They have, and I have cheated a little bit because I've basically painted four bases there. But Golem's got some rock. I've painted the rock that he's on.
It is the start of the year. We're still recovering from the festivities. Yeah, yeah. Before you know it, you'll be painting Abaddon. Awesome. That leaves you with your final choice, your top choice, Jay.
It's got to be an easy one, hasn't it, really, because I'm going to get marked on it in a year's time.
Must try harder.
I've already got two. That's quite a lot for me to try and achieve, considering I only achieved 32% of the last three. I would like, because one thing I haven't got is, well, the only Age of Sigmar army I've got is my Sylvaneth. That's the only full 2,000-point army I can use. Other than that, I have to sort of scrabble around to try and build a 2,000-point list. So I'm going to steal your number one, Dave, but for Age of Sigmar.
What army are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm not going to make any decision on any armies yet, because there's sort of some armies that may come out this year that I'm looking forward to. So elves or maybe Kanoffi, something like that. So I'm going to sit tight, not jump on the bandwagon with any new army that comes out, like Caradons were very tempting. I'm just going to hang fire, and Slaves to Darkness, I was very tempted with them as well, because those Chaos Warriors were so cool. But I thought, over the Christmas holiday, I sort of reflect. I think, no. I'll just paint me Ultramarines, because I've already got those models. I'll finish off the Dwarves, and then I'll a new, brand new 2,000-point army when the right army book comes out for me.
Cool.
And I'm hoping it's a Wood Elf-looking type book.
Excellent. I think there's some really good choices there, and we will be reviewing these next year. So January 2021, we'll be looking back at this podcast to see how we got on. Shall we see how the community are shaping up for their hobby resolutions?
I think we should.
Right, we'll get our data slates ready, and we'll be back with our final segment of the podcast. On to social media to see what you guys have picked as your top three resolutions that you'd like to achieve in 2020. Starting over on Facebook, Ian Spear, after getting back into the hobby last year, third choice, have a go at Necromunda and have at least two painted gangs.
Yeah.
Second choice, play some regular games in a club and enter a tournament. Purple Sparkle Unicorns aren't too far from me.
Oh, you
could be seeing you, Ian, at one of these tournaments very soon. I do hope so. Martin Johnston, third choice, organise more mini events for our group and look to expand it and involve more of the local community. Always a great idea. Second choice, play much more games. First choice, fully paint an army and play it. Yeah.
Sounds good.
I mean, that was a big one for me, and now I've done it, I've got the bug, and I really want to complete
it. It makes so much difference playing with painted armies.
Especially if you go to the nice painted tables at Warhammer World, you've got your painted armies, you can't beat that, can you?
No.
Dazbrain finishes off on Facebook with build more, paint more, and claim the skulls of my enemies.
Excellent.
Excellent hobby resolution.
Yeah. Well, David Metcalf says, help his daughter with their Mortal Realms subscription. I can see a lot of people getting into the hobby with Mortal Realms.
Yeah.
If you want to finish your Stormcast, you never know.
I know, it was tempting.
Paint a Vanguard Marine Army and do better at tournaments. Aiming to get top 20 at the London GT. Ooh. Yeah, good challenge. Immortan Joe, play my Grey Knights more and play more narrative games. Finish painting my Silver Templar force just in time to... Plastic Sisters of Battle, build and paint a small force when they release, which should be in a few weeks, I think.
Forgot about the Sisters of Battle.
Yeah.
Fabius Fulgrim, play more than once every 3 months, play in a tournament, and continue to try and get an hour of hobby a day.
Yeah, cool.
Pete Allison says, very easy to be unrealistic, so here's a slightly more down-to-earth list. Post more pics on social media. Do his Golden Demon entry. I think he's doing a Caradron ship.
I think he is. A Skyport, isn't it?
Pete, if you don't know, he had the awesome, like, metallic red Perforian. So I can't wait to see what his Caradron ships look like. And improve his brush skills. Vincent Notley says, repeating as few kits as possible, allowing for variants like Raptors, Warp Talons, or Reaver Titans. So I guess... maximising the number of different kits rather than having lots of the
six
same...
six units of Intercessors.
Yeah, or eight Death Threat missiles in the case of not. building collections, not armies, and he doesn't really have a third. Mike Lode says, paint at least one more mini than he accomplished last year. Get up to date on Warhammer Underworlds. We need to do the same.
Yeah.
And start and finish one AOS and one 40k army. Lord Arcanum says, similar to last year, paint more. The target is 106 models. Play more. This should be easy. Only did two games last year and play in a tournament. Psychologist to the Astartes says, paint more minis than I buy. That doesn't happen. Build one of the four Warhound conversion ideas I have. 40k scale.
I should do that. We want to see that.
Do you want to see that? Four of them. And play Blood Bowl and Warcry. Wargamers Retreat says, play more, learn Sigmar, and finish Orcs, Guard, and Vampires. Yeah, get on the Vampires. Office Painter, paint a Primarch, paint Alexis Pollux, and paint a Primaris Marine of some description. Alchemist Workshop says, to keep offering the best savings to this awesome Warmongers community and increase our Ranger stocks. Bit of a plug there. They are a local store, though, so...
Yes, they are. Very local.
Shut her down there. Craig Sinclair says, paint my Orc Gang, and finally play Necromunda. Do 2,000 points of Stormcast and clear my backlog. Doesn't happen.
No.
Downwards Dad, play some games with people I like, paint some models, not get stressed. It's a hobby. Do it to relax. That's a good thought. And Stormgrad Games wants to do four events for four different systems with four different friends. I have said, if you want to do a system with me, give me a shout and I'll go to a tournament with you. I do find it is a lot easier going into a tournament for the first time with people that you know.
Yeah.
You know, breaks the ice a little bit. Andy Wood.
Oh, my days. I've seen this tweet. He is organised.
Andy Wood, last year, I think, sent us a similar hefty list of resolutions.
Wow, and to be fair to him, Andy Wood?
We should be... to be fair, I think Andy Wood did them all.
Oh.
So, paint 1,000 points in a week with contrast. Brackets, contrast challenge.
We should have had that as our...
we should have done. Paint six or more Shadespire, Kill Team or Warcry warbands. Paint a named character, enter a model into a painting competition, and paint 365 models. It's a leap year, Andy. I'm going to say 366. Reading. He wants to read a Black Library book, read at least six codexes or battle tomes, finish a hobby-related audiobook, read a source book, and read a White Dwarf. Gaming. Play Apocalypse. Use every endless spell at least once. That's a cool challenge. Play a narrative Middle-earth scenario. Never voluntarily take the double turn at a two-day AOS event now. he did this last year, and he could have beaten me, but didn't take the double turn and lost the game because he didn't take it. So he stuck to it last year. Take an allied unit to at least two events and use the open war cards in at least three games. Hobby, magnetise the bases of a whole army, go to five events, post hobby updates every month, do objective markers for 40k in AOS, paint a piece of terrain that isn't for the club, and take part in the Middle-earth Hobby Bingo. Now, if you've not seen this on the Great British Hobbit League, they have little bingo cards with different things that you can cross them off over the course of the year. We should do that, actually. That'd be fun. Monster in Your Pocket said, paint an entire army and learn how to play 40k with my wife. Maybe paint her army. Matthew Thomas, play more games, try to get through the backlog, finish a 2k 40k army, and said, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Matthew. Wee. And then James Bowman says, paint more than I buy, enter a competition, and even though I don't play much, properly organise my armies rather than piles of stuff. I want to name the squads, etc.
Yeah.
That's cool. So yeah, that's a whole lot of hobby goodness we've had from you guys.
Yeah, really good. Thank you for all your tweets and Facebook comments. It's well worth mentioning at this point that thanks to our awesome community, we now have over 2,000 followers.
That's crazy.
It's crazy numbers. Crazy numbers. So thank you for joining us on this adventure.
And if you enjoy the podcast, share it with your friends and get them to listen too.
Yeah, yeah. And if you have any feedback or if you want to get involved in our top threes, do send us a tweet at Sprues and Brews. Head on over to facebook.com/Sprues and Brews, or you can comment on Instagram or even spruesandbrews.com.
Yeah.
Do we have a top three for next week?
We do have a top three for next week.
Ooh, what is it?
So, with the departure of Mr. Duncan Rhodes, we want to know your top three Duncan moments. These could be videos, these could be certain things that helped you do your army, these could be funny things that happened on Warhammer Community. Yeah, your top three Duncan moments.
Okay, cool.
But that's not all that's happening next week, because on Saturday, we will be going to the open day.
Yes, we will be, yes. Hopefully we'll see some Adeptus Astartes.
Yeah.
We could even see some New Age of Sigma stuff.
I got confused because it's not a 40k open day. It's a Warhammer open day.
It's an everything open
the
day.
The Lord of the Rings team are going to be there.
They could announce Battlefield Gothic. No, they won't, but...
Oh, man, Battlefield Gothic would be good. We normally do the top three, don't we? Top three, what we do you want to see at the open day?
Yeah, well, hobby resolutions for presidents this time. So... Excellent. Well, that is it. That's the end of our first podcast for 2020, the first of many. We'll be back next week with our weekly show. As I mentioned before, if you want to get in touch, please do so. We hope you've enjoyed the show and we'll be back again very soon. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast. If you like what you've been listening to, please do give us a share and a comment if you're listening via Apple Podcasts. For further content, please check out spruesandbrews.com and you can contact us on Twitter @spruesandbrews or over on Facebook, facebook.com/spruesandbrews.